Hello and welcome to Tennessee Fro is Reading. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter, and I'm excited that this is actually working. I have always thought that you should do test runs and prepare for things, but I don't, because I don't want the show to feel stilted, but I need it to have some, this is kind of funny. Oh, this is hysterical. As far as let's see if it'll let me. And begin. I guess people can call in, they can actually pop in. But when you are dealing with new into the live studio, what? Hello. Oh, hello, how are you? I have one listener, Crazy Daisy. It's nice to meet you. I got Dog Lover. Awesome. This is actually pretty cool. Well, let me get back to what the whole premise of the show is. This is like one, I just discovered this functionality when I just logged on and was doing some things within my Podbean account. And I thought I would actually test this out today. I will be discussing, in usual Tennessee Fro fashion, I will, hello. You'll hear me pause and every now and again, because I have people that are logging in, and it's so just so exciting that we have this technology right at our fingertips. But my hope is to allow listeners to actually be able to communicate back and forth, ask questions, and make comments on the show itself. But in usual Tennessee Fro fashion, I plan on talking about or starting the episodes about blessings and Christmas presents, and also resolutions for 2020, not shying away from the lies we tell ourselves and others. I will discuss my reading and writing retreat at the lake. Let's see, what was I recently played? As well as what I'm reading. Right now it's Ida, The Sword Among Lions, and books that I have added to my Goodreads account. And why being a feminist, pro-Black African-American does not make me a racist. And what's the difference between having pride in your culture and not being a misogynist or a racist? What I'm reading for today, that goes into what I've added to my Goodreads list, as well as why I'm so hyped about the Living Single reboot. I'm going to be talking about my speaking engagement at the University of Florida Medical School, as well as planning for the Daytona 500. I will review stats of previous shows and non-trolly comments. I will also just thank you for joining me and enjoy the music. Thank you. So for the call in, I think I needed to, or I should have added a call in link, or maybe a phone number that you could actually call in and leave a message. So for questions, you can actually, and comments, you can actually just post them in the comments link at the bottom of, I'm thinking at the bottom of your screen, but also you can call my Google Voice number at 423-463-0658 if you would like to leave me a message, or if you would like to be my first call in or dial in person online for the chat. No trolley comments, and I will hang up on you if it goes completely left. So just so you know. So I'm actually going to post that number for to leave a 2-minute non-trolley message in the comments bank. But again, that number is 423-463-0658. Comment call in line. And there you go. And it would be great if I actually had a producer or someone else that could actually maneuver around. And as I'm doing the script, they could be looking up stuff and playing music and making sure that I stay as close to the script as I actually can. What else? Let's see. So what's the first thing of what I'm talking about today? Blessings from 2019 and things that I feel that I'm blessed about. Cool Christmas presents that I've gotten and I'm wearing right now. And my resolutions for 2020. I'm not going to start off with a lie. I'll just start with the resolution. I resolve not to gain any more weight. I'm not going to tell that lie that I'm going to go on this massive rewrite of my eating habits, as well as what weight I'm going to lose and what I know I need to do. I know I need to have a healthier lifestyle. I went and I had a smoothie, coffee smoothie today with mango, and I think I added apple or something else. But I'm not going to go all in and say I'm going to become a vegan. I'm going to walk 10 miles a day, because that's a lie, and I ain't trying to lie. But what I am going to do is need to, I know there is a need for me to be healthy, because there are, my life is like a book with 1,000 pages in it. I haven't read them yet. And I need to, I want to be around, and I need to be around to be able to be around to enjoy what's next. And just like Marianne says, it's easier to change your religion than your diet. Just saying. She is hilarious. And she's also one of the diabetes educator in Tennessee. She is a hoot. And I have a comment on listeners from Tennessee, and I'll deal with that as I'll just go over the stats from my previous shows and get into why I actually created the podcast itself. But anyways, 2019 was a year of transition for me. I changed jobs like 3 times. I resigned 2 positions at the beginning of the year, and it's not that I was annoyed at what I was doing. It was just where I was doing my position and who I was doing it for. For those of you that don't know, I am what is called my day job that pays for all of this. My day job is a physician advisor. What I do is I review charts, to make sure for medical necessity, making sure that they are the right status, whether observation or inpatient, or ambulatory, outpatient, completely outpatient. And I advise health systems, used to advise health systems or one particular hospital, how if their patients are the right status, because you don't want to have charges submitted fraudulently and making sure that the patients get the correct care that they require. I did that for the payee or the facilities for almost 2 years. Then I switched over to the payer side, and currently I work for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Tennessee. I enjoy that work probably more so than I've enjoyed my work before. I'm still a physician, but I haven't practiced in a minute, and I don't really see myself going into back into private practice or doing locums or being a hospital pediatric hospitalist is what I've been doing for almost 20 years now. But I can apply all of that knowledge that I've gained as a pediatric hospitalist. 99% of my patient population is all adults, to now make the case for, did the patient receive the medical necessary services? Did they receive it at the correct level? Or is it either futile care, or do you need to consider something else? Did they really need that CPAP machine? Did they really need that ultrasound? Et cetera, et cetera. Is this a standard of care for this patient population? I actually do that now, and I actually like doing it. Number one, because I get to do it from home. But I'm finally at, I'm finally working for a company that I actually believe in. And I finally, after some turmoil, like where I work. I, even though I work from home, I get to do it from Chattanooga, and I really love Tennessee. It's kind of weird being able to live and work in the same place, because it's been a very long time that I did not have that as an option for me for a very long time, but now I do, and it's actually very, it's been a blessing. And that's what I wanted to start with. Even though 2019 has been rocky, there's been wars and rumors of wars. We got a jackass in the White House. But at the same time, we actually have the opportunity to be greater, and as well as to do all of those things that we didn't think that we would think that was possible. I don't know if anywhere in the world that people can and have enjoyed the same things as we actually get to do every single day. And I mean, I'm just excited about that. And that's one of my blessings. And if the listeners could do and share what they considered one of the major blessings and resolutions for, I'm hopeful that I can actually read their blessings and what their resolutions are towards the end of the show, or I'll actually just post it later on the website for in the podcast notes for this episode. And I'm actually looking, I don't know if Janelle gets her email directly to her phone, because I saw that she said that she was actually, coming to the podcast, but I haven't seen her sign in yet, but that's okay. I'll actually hit her up later and see if she will eventually sign in. So let me see this music. Give me a second to reset and go on to the next portion of the show. actually like that pretty much. So next section, since December 30th, I've actually been PTO from my said job that I feel so blessed to have. And I've been actually writing at my house here in, I've actually been in North Carolina for the past week, full time. And I devised having a writing and reading retreat. What exactly does that mean? Initially, I had intended to buy a series of train tickets to San Antonio, Texas. I was supposed to catch the train for Raleigh, Durham, all the way to San Antonio, with the intent of only taking breaks to maybe get food and to hang out with some of the weirdos in the food car. I chose the only stops that I was to make was Raleigh to Charleston to Savannah to New Orleans and into San Antonio for several reasons. If you have to get off the train for several hours to catch your next connection, those are cities that you would not mind being in. The segments in between those cities are virtually nonstop. So if you're in a sleeper car with your own bathroom, which is key, you can actually get a fair bit of writing done in between and reading, and but you still have the opportunity to still be moving, and you have the opportunity to walk around and to enjoy the sights or whatever you were seeing when you weren't riding. That didn't pan out because I didn't get my extra bonus until yesterday. So I moved it to the lake, and it was probably one of the best. One, it was cost effective. That was number one. But I didn't realize, or I was just reminded about how quiet it is here. The only distractions I actually had is when I was going stir crazy and I had to get up and do something, or I had Hulu playing in on the back, a constant loop of Living Single for the past several weeks or 2 weeks, well, week and a half. But I was able to get a lot of writing done. One of the things that I actually did was re-navigate back to the NaNoWriMo.org website. Back in November was the National November Writing Month Challenge, where we were tasked to write 50,000 words for that entire month. I actually was able to participate in it, and I did write the 50,000 words, but it was also served as a platform for me to save all of my writing projects. And I bring that up because if you're going to do a writing and reading retreat, you really should consider setting a goal for each day. My goals were very simple. I just wanted to write anywhere between 1,500 words to 2,000 words every single day. And I've actually met and exceeded that goal every single day. I included my podcast notes because I found that my post to the podcast actually exceed about 2,000 words. I also have been in the process of rewriting my book, Not My Family. I published or self-published that book, May of 2019. And you can actually say that that was one of the things I was I am most proud of. You have to ensure that your technology is also working appropriately, because sometimes, you know, things get a little glitchy. And I apologize for that. And I wish I could have like a listen back while I am speaking, but I don't have that. I just don't know if it's actually in the technology itself. And that's why I call this experimental, because, you know, you never know what can actually happen during a live cast. That's one of the things I really like about being able to record, because then I can go and edit back, but you can't really do it if you're actually live, right? But anyways, what else? So in summation, one of the things that you can learn about from a writing retreat, not only can you plan on what you're going to be doing and what you are going to be saying, you actually, I wish I could actually hear this. It would be great if I did. And I didn't realize that I was actually, I'm on my 5G, so I think I do have the bandwidth. It's just that I'm wondering if there's some type of glitch. And I don't think there's any limit itself in it limited itself in the time period. But anyways, when you actually plan a writing and reading retreat, you actually have the capability to plan out what you're going to do. One of those things is having a set amount of days, a set amount of words that you actually want to write. Sure. See. Hello. Oops. Harun got bumped off. Aw. So you can attempt to call in, and I basically have to click a button and it should allow you to call in. There may be a bandwidth issue. So I would try not to do it over cellular service. Make sure that you are either listening. Maybe it's easier to listen and to be able to have full functionality from a desktop, and also consider using Chrome. I'm an Apple kind of person, so there may be some issue if you're on Android. But Harun, if you are still back in the live cast studio, please try to call in again. Or Dog Lover, if you're still online, please attempt to call in again to let me know if you actually can hear. No problem. And I'm my friend Yvonne. Cool. My friend Yvonne is also back or has made it online too. I'm going to actually post my Google Voice if you would like. If you would like to leave a non-trolly message, you can actually do so at my Google voicemail. At your convenience, I would like, if again, if comments are non-trolly and you're not trying to just be obstructive, you can leave me a message at 423-463-0658. So I now on to the next part of the show. I'm kind of annoyed that why won't the music, it was playing previously, so why won't it actually play now? I think something, it was a hiccup in the system, but no worries. What have I been watching for the last month? There have been four movies that I've had the pleasure of watching. One was Queen and Slim, that released right around November. I watched Ford versus Ferrari. I've watched the new Star Wars movie, The Rise of Skywalker. And the fourth was, I actually watched recently or yesterday, Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. One of the things I wish I had done or been more proactive in doing with those last two movies was looking at Rotten Tomatoes and some of the other people's opinions. What I have realized is that with the exception of Queen and Slim, I thought that was well written, and it was a movie for us, by us, African Americans, that is. The other movies, Rise of Skywalker, and definitely Uncut Gems, is either plus or minus. I wish I had kept my money, especially for Uncut Gems, but it was the only movie that was out recently that I wanted to watch. I also had an issue with The Rise of Skywalker because I thought it could have been done better. It should have been done with more 3D effects. I don't know if there was something wrong with the camera, the output device at the movie theater, because I went and paid for IMAX 3D, but I was not impressed with that at all. I just thought the fight scenes were better. I was confused by some of the subtext. It didn't seem to as flow. And even 40 years later, the first three episodes, I believe, are still the best of the Star Wars storyline. And I'm glad, in a way, that they're finally giving up the ghost and they're just letting that dead dog lie. I am not impressed at all with that The Rise of Skywalker. I thought it could have just been better. And I'm still more so in line with Empire Strikes Back and the original Star Wars series. Everything after Empire Strikes Back sucked. Just saying. Uncut Gems, Adam Sandler's attempt at a non-funny, serious role, that was a tragic fail. I think it should get no Rotten Tomatoes. You are welcome to listen to that or look at that online and see what you think. I was not at all impressed with that. And I was more angry that I, again, wasted $14 and going to the movies, worrying about parking, and then seeing or having to be or sit through that entire movie. It was 2 hours of nonsense, and I didn't get it, and I won't go there again. The two movies that I really was impressed with, as I said before, were Queen and Slim and Ford versus Ferrari, for obvious reasons. Now I want a GT500. That was all just about American ingenuity, making a car that could outrace and win against the dominant Ferrari, Italian car Ferrari. How they got, they made a play to buy the Ferrari brand and the plant, and they went with Renault, a European brand. But they still ended up using Carroll Shelby, designing a car that wins at Le Mans, and then wins it for a number of years. And they end up having a lifelong collaboration between the Ford and Carroll Shelby. I love that movie. I had my Shelly for about 2 or 3 years that I loved. I absolutely loved that movie. It was surprising that the storyline was just amazing, and the portrayal of Carroll Shelby was amazing. That's a movie that I'm probably going to end up going buying and watching again, just because I want to see that car. And if I could ever test drive one, would be love to be in that car. Most definitely. I thought my Mustang was uncomfortable, but I know that car, how small it is, would definitely be uncomfortable. Queen and Slim, I loved for obvious reasons. I did love and write. I wrote about how I was completely impressed about that movie when it first dropped, because I did see it right around its release on November 20th. Let's see. But the other two movies, I don't know. I would probably wait to see The Rise of Skywalker on Disney Plus, if you're already going to pay for that service. I would also consider seeing, or not seeing at all, Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. I thought it was stupid. And that's all I got to say about those movies and the whole what not to watch list. You know what I mean? Let's see. Hopefully I did not close out my That's awesome. Thanks, Yvonne or Vonnie. Let's see what I'm reading. I actually started posting about Ida, the Sword Among Lions, yesterday, in preparation for the podcast. And the reason why I started reading it, I had bought the book about 3 months ago from Amazon, because I had heard about it on the Black Man Who Tips podcast. This book, but I did not start reading it until recently for a number of reasons. I actually decided or started reading it, and it seemed like it was apropos, because in the past couple of weeks, if you guys have not realized, there has been an uptick on hate crimes, that have been perpetrated against religious organizations and particularly Hasidic Jewish people. There was attack in Jersey City. There have been multiple attacks in New York City proper. And I was like, who has released the Kraken? What is going on with all of this intolerance and with this hate? And I started thinking about the book that I had been on my bedside that I hadn't read for a minute. And I thought at this time, and then I was thinking about, people keep asking me, why do you love Tennessee so much? The issue with my love of Tennessee, and I didn't realize the impact of how the book or how it would come off, because I did not know about Tennessee's murderous history. You hear about stuff about the Deep South, but you don't really know exactly the numbers or have the proof of the numbers until I started reading the book and I started researching lynching and with all this intolerance, et cetera, that's going on. And why Ida B. Wells, she was writing about lynching and how it stemmed from lynching of three Black men in Memphis, Tennessee. And then it spawned almost a summer of hatred and burning, etc. She herself was out of town. She started the editorial process and writing, and then she left. She went to Oklahoma, which everyone had started running to after the lynching. And then she was in New York City, in Brooklyn, no doubt, when she got word from a friend that they actually had burned and vandalized her newspaper, The Free Press. And they sold everything else at auction to satisfy the creditors. And she herself would not come back south for almost 30 years. She ended up staying in for a time and writing for a time in New York, but eventually settling in Chicago. She would finally go back to the South to settle up her family's property in Mississippi, but it would be almost a full half a century before she would even go back to Memphis, Tennessee. She actually had a price on her head for all of those years and threats of lynching if they saw her in the streets. Even in spite of the fear that they intended, the lack of respect that they showed to her, she actually continued to write. You know, her sword was her pen. She had her own paper. She wrote for prominent papers, and she kept it going in spite of all that adversity. So in the first 200 and some odd pages that I've read over the past 24 hours, I'm reading about a woman that I knew very little about. And thank you, Vonnie, for telling me about her. There's this major downtown road in Chicago that's actually named after her. I'm reading and learning so much about the courage and her talent in an age in her paternalistic environment. In spite of that, and the danger to her life, she still wrote major things and she was honing her craft during this time when being smart, being a female was not acceptable. She continued to fight and she continued to write what was right and what was true. She did not yield to sensationalism. She truly was the sword, the writing sword. And I wish, and even in this age of podcasters, and we have all of this technology and all of these platforms at our disposal, I don't think she would agree with this cancellation society. I don't think she would agree with social media platforms and how negative people are using it. In the grand scheme of things, I think she would be abhorred by what people are saying and what they are doing on social media, I think she would be able to capitalize and she would be using social media effectively, but she would not be at all impressed with everything that's going on now. Now for a small music break. That is You've Changed. Well, the previous music was still standing, but this is one of the songs I actually bought yesterday from the music store. Billie Holiday's You've Changed. That's another thing when you're on a writing and reading retreat. You can buy and go pretty much wherever you want to within limits. But 2019 served as the year where records on vinyl surpassed CDs for the first time in almost 20 years. And in fact, Barnes & Noble has expanded their vinyl offerings. And I believe it is, what's that store called? The major electronics store. Can't think of it right now, but it'll come to me. I can see it. It's not Circuit City because they went out of business a minute ago. But people have actually stopped offering CDs at this time. And what I usually go to Around the Way Records, which is a secondhand store in town, but I ran out of time. So I made a beeline to the Barnes & Noble, where I will be going to get my New York Times tomorrow. And I ended up purchasing the last Prince album in the store, as well as purchasing also Billie Holiday, Lady in Satin, as well as Jay-Z, The Black Album. And I don't think I'm going to be purchasing any other music today, but I will definitely continue to listen to the records that I actually have purchased. I realize if you actually could have a kind of like a musical background or a soundtrack of your life, mine would be made up of multiple different artists. Billie Holiday, a lot of Prince albums with Nothing Compares to You would be on there, but also Jay-Z would also be playing in the background. Dirt Off Your Shoulders, I would actually have to have that on my record of my life or soundtrack of my life. So what exactly have I added to my reading list currently? Let's see. I thought I had minimized. I had minimized this in the background. And again, in prep for your podcast, you may also want to consider having the ability to have multiple screens, because when you're doing it off of one screen, off of even a widescreen Mac, it's still kind of difficult to being able to navigate around. So what I've been reading, in addition to Ida, the Sword of the oh my goodness, Ida, A Sword Among Lions. I have added to my Goodreads to be read list, A New Negro, The Life of Alan Locke. I've also added The Guest Book by Sarah Blake, Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner, Summer of 69 by Elaine Hildebrandt, and Sold on Monday. This book is reminiscent of a book that I've recently read. When We Were Yours, that I read towards the beginning of the year. And it's about illegal child trafficking in the South, of all places, of and it looks like poor Caucasian children. There's the front flap of the book was, it says two children for sale. And it goes into the detail about illegal adoptions and child trafficking. And I thought, again, it seems like all of my book choices have been so kind of serious or sad. And it's not that I'm not depressed or anything or sad. It's just that I have an eclectic kind of taste in my book choices. I'm going to, right now I'm navigating to my Goodreads site, and I just realized two things. I was supposed to have read like 50 books this year. I only read 35. But I think I'm going to continue to read and just add only those things again what interests me. Let me go back to the podcast. Where'd it go? Here it is. This is actually my Goodreads shelf to read list, where I've added those additional books. I still actually have to add The Beautiful Ones by Prince. Because I actually did read that. And And I thought, even though it was not so heavy on the prose or the words, it actually was an amazing book to read. There was handwritten notes about for his songs, suggestions for album covers. Is one of those books that I would also consider placing on your book, on your to read or have read reading list. So the books that I've added in recap are The New Negro by Jeffrey Stewart, The Guest Book by Sarah Blake, Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner, Summer of 69 by Elaine Hildebrandt, and Sold on Monday by Christina McMaris.
It's a problem or it's play.
So, rounding the corner in this first live podcast, my whole goal was to keep this less than 45 minutes, and I'm already over 15 minutes over. So I'm going to have to break this up into two parts, it seems. But this is what I wanted to end with. This is a new year, and a new time. And it seems that people want to erase or hell bent on erasing America from the face of the earth for whatever reason, why people play or hate us so much. I don't think it is un-American to be proud and happy and of your gender and who you identify as well as your cultural identity and your race. You can be proud of who you are and where you come from, but once you step over that line to think you are the best in the world and you hate everyone else that is not of your gender or your race, that's when you step over the line of intolerance and of racism. I can be a proud Black African-American feminist and still love everyone around me. I can still hold those truths and recognize that America has its problems, but it's still the best place on earth. And it's not unpatriotic for me to be proud and Black. There's no dichotomy in that. I can be proud of who I am and support the true ideals of what makes me an African-American American. And I'm not a racist to be that way. But that crossover, you have to be careful not to become arrogant, not to become and espouse hatred. You can be critical, just like Ida B. Wells was, but at the same time, you also can promote unity among the races, and you can also promote unity and unify and unity in here in America without stomping on someone else, stomping on someone's gender identity, and stomping on other races. That is not pride. That is racism. But I think you can be proud and still be happy of who you are, minus the hatred. And that's all I got to say about that. I'm going to end up this show just going over and thanking everyone that was able to join me on this live podcast. I'm going to continue or have a second part. I'm probably not going to post it until tomorrow, where I'll read to you from my Living Single reboot, talk to you a little bit more about my speaking engagement at University of Florida College of Medicine, as well as my plans to go to Daytona. And the stats for my podcast with all of the my 12 podcasts of Christmas, or 12 podcasts of Christmas posts, my stats went up exponentially. I had no idea that I actually had access to all of this information, you know, go figure. The ex HIMS member, right, Vonnie? But what I did find out from the Podbean dashboard is that my listenership in the month of December had gone up almost 1,000%. Which was completely crazy, I thought. Let me go and find that link for you. Of course, it's hidden behind a whole bunch of windows. The podcast that actually had the most downloads was the initial podcast from December 10th. That was the first podcast, 12 podcasts of Christmas. And in about 13, 14 days, I did post like 12 different podcasts on the traditions, Christmas traditions. And then I had the last podcast of the decade where I wished everyone a happy new year. But it seems that most of my listeners are from the United States, with several being in Spain. Evidently, I'm popping in Spain, which is awesome. And